Good morning, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, your host, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, May 15th, 2008. It is now about 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620, or email us at comments@libertytalkradio.com. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That two is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. And today, folks, there is so much uncertainty in the marketplace, especially how it relates to your money. It is important for you to understand exactly what is going on. No one seems to understand today the economic uncertainties that face us, with the banks being hesitant to even exchange to each other, meaning they don't trust each other, and then why should we just trust the banks? And when we get to that point, we get to a very, very precarious position. So please, he has a newsletter which he publishes, which is absolutely free, and I think it's the absolutely best in the business. And he has a paid subscription where you can ask for personal advice, etc. And he's very, very good and very complimentary. I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. This morning, I am going to dedicate this broadcast to new friends of mine and my wife that we met on our trip to San Diego last week. They're from Florence, Italy, and I'll just mention their first name. The gentleman's name, his nickname is Luca, and the lady's name is Maurizia. And they were absolutely marvelous. And let me tell you something, what I enjoy about Europeans is this, is that they are so free to converse. They just love to discuss things. And it really bothers me here in the United States. We have an aversion toward conversation. And when I say that, I don't mean people talk, but they don't say anything. If you ask for something significant, like how are things going, you'll get, oh, okay, you know, they're afraid that you're going to ask a follow-up question or we're going to get involved in a real conversation. That really concerns me. We have lost the ability to converse, but you know what? We listen very well. And what we listen to and look at is the boob tube, the TV, and we get all our information there, and we regurgitate it. George Orwell, 1984. It is very real, it is here, and it is now. And we should find that very disturbing. Folks, this is Joe Cristiano. I'm your host, Liberty Talk Radio. Our lines are open. I know it's early in the morning, 646-652-4620. If you are listening in, please call in. And by the way, if you want to call in after hours, the number is area code 918-919-0101. That's 918-919-0101. And if I'm here, I will answer the phone. If not, just please leave a message. Okay, you'll have a British sounding lady answering the phone on the voicemail, and she'll just ask you to leave a message. And I will respond to your questions or your comments over the air. Well, Luca and Maurizia, I really enjoyed meeting you, and I will be sending you a Liberty Talk Radio t-shirt to your home in Florence as soon as we get them in. We had to restock them. We actually ran out, which is good, I guess, in a way. I'd like to also mention to all those people who have investments in commodities and seem to be concerned that they may have invested in commodities and now things look flat or actually have gone down in value. If you are in the commodities business, one thing that you need is an iron stomach. Commodities are not very placid. They're very volatile, and they will gyrate up and down. While most people are very concerned during this time because they held on to commodities and they see the value of their commodities eroding somewhat, I take solace in this time because I know when this occurs over a long period of time, this is sort of where we're going to be for a while, which is fine, and the prices are still very high, and there's a large upside to it. The subprime market is not over. That crisis is not over. All we have done thus far is we've swept it under the rug. All the problems we've swept under the rug. We have exasperated things. I cannot envision the next crisis and what that brings and what that will do to prices, not only in the stock market, but in the commodities market. Just think of this. I mean, we have this phenomenal crisis to the tune of trillions of dollars. The Fed comes in, bails out one company, lowers interest rates, and we go, whew, wow, boy, the Fed really acted decisively. Well, what the heck have they done? They've printed basically more money. They've done something very unconstitutional by guaranteeing the losses of a private company. And they lowered interest rates, which made our currency less attractive to people overseas, while bumping up our stock market. Now, folks, they accomplished absolutely nothing but exasperated things, and things will get worse. We still have Medicare to deal with, which is going to go totally in the red within 2 years. We have Social Security, which is in horrible shape. We have people not spending money because of the higher oil prices. Now, notice I did not say high oil prices because oil prices are not high relative to the price of everything else. We are just accustomed to cheap oil. And those days may, and I say may, be behind us. So we must be accustomed to paying, allocating more of our income to energy, where it should have been done in the first place. And that's why we do not have strong alternative energies here in the United States. I have friends who are basically socialists. They call themselves social democrats. They are socialist and basically communist in a way, you know. But very nice people, but they think that the government should be doing all these things. And they always point to Europe and say, look what these European countries are doing regarding, you know, nuclear energy and all these other alternatives. And that is true. But look at the price of oil in Europe. My friend, newly found friend Luca from Florence, Italy, I asked him, what is the equivalent price of oil in Italy? He says, about $8 per gallon. Now, if oil was $8 per gallon here, we would have alternative energy. Now, in Europe, people do, they live closer together because the countries are small. They mostly live in cities and they share apartments. They may or may not own a car. They take public transportation, and public transportation is viable because people are very, very close to one another. The cities are small, and it makes public transportation viable. Just like in New York, there's a subway system. San Francisco, there's a subway system, et cetera, and in Chicago. That's because you have a large concentration of people. It's not that because they're smarter and they're more concerned with the environment. It's because it is practical for them to do so. We may find that to be the case here in the United States with oil at $8 a gallon. Now, quite frankly, I don't think that'll happen because today to build something in the United States is so incredibly expensive. Oil would have to go to $50 a gallon to make public transportation even a break-even situation. But anyway, I digress. Here, I got some email from, it says, "Dear Joe, I enjoy and benefit from your broadcast, but I really have a problem with your position on education. I agree that the current school system does not produce productive members for society, nor do graduating high school and college students typically have any idea why they went to school." Good point. All right. Here's my problem. If there was no school system, there would be no standard. Who's to say anyone did well or is educated or can do well? There is no benchmarks. This is as close to anarchy as you have ever gotten. I guess that's true. Please help me understand this or recount. Lewis from Oregon. Okay, Lewis from Oregon. And before I answer that, folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. After broadcast or during rebroadcast hours, it's 918-919-0101. Now, Lewis, you know, that question is posed very frequently. In fact, that's the most common question. They say, fine, anarchy. You know, I'm for anarchy. Everyone in the street. And, you know, there's this impression that if we don't have standardized tests and we don't have children sitting in a stupid box classroom listening to a teacher who has no idea what's going on in the real world, they know their subject. In the real world, they have not the foggiest idea what's going on. You know, if we don't have that, I mean, people would be literally 24 hours a day. They wouldn't even sleep. They would be running in the street, rioting, screaming, and everything. And, you know, we've been painted this picture. We talk about anarchy as being a terrible thing. Well, I'm not for anarchy, and I'm not for that type of orientation. But I am a very organized person. I like to see things very well organized. And quite frankly, even under anarchy, things can be very, very well organized. People don't have to be running and screaming in the street. And pardon me, I like to take a little swig of coffee. It's still very early for me. Hold on, please. But the question Lewis brings up is interesting. You know, what's the benchmark? Well, why do we need a benchmark? Well, that's because someone has a diploma, and when they go for a job, they say, oh, Charlie has a diploma, we can hire him. Harry doesn't have a diploma, we won't hire him. Well, my former father-in-law, he had absolutely no education whatsoever, and he was an engineer for Edwards and Company. He was an absolutely brilliant man, but did not go to school. He can have a conversation with an organic chemist. He constructed things that were engineering feats. You know, one has no correlation to the other. The reason why most students do so poorly in school, and as a real, don't get the piece of paper. If they don't get the piece of paper, they can't get jobs. And this is what teachers tell students. If you don't get a good education, you'll never get a good job. And that's the worst thing that we can tell our students. Education equals job. That's not true. Or schooling equals job. Not education. Schooling equals job. It's not your ability. It's not what you like to do. It's not your passion. It's not what you're predisposed to do, things that you inherently like to do. Some people like to draw. Some people like to write. Some people like to construct. I mean, everyone's so different. That does not matter. What matters is the degree so that you can get a good job. And what is a good job? What's the definition of a good job? One that pays well. We are sending the wrong message out. See, we should be saying, develop your talents. Whatever you feel you'll be good at, develop it. But as you go along, bring with you all your support systems. For example, if you want to be a carpenter, be the best carpenter. Be a creative carpenter. I mean, make beautiful carpentry, woodwork, etc. But while you're doing that, if you really want to exploit your talents, you should know arithmetic and algebra. It will help you figure out how to construct things. It would be good if you knew how to read, because there are so many books written by world masters of carpentry. And you will find them fascinating. And they'll make you even better than what you are. That's what we should be saying. Not sitting kids in classrooms saying Columbus sailed the blue in 1492. It's garbage. So what? And as a result of our present system, if you asked people, students coming out of high school graduates having 12 years of history. Folks, let me repeat that. 12 years of history. And show them a map and say, fine, pick out China. They couldn't do it. Pick out where Iraq is. Couldn't do it. And many, if you ask them, pick Canada. They couldn't do it. And what they do is they listen to stupid music all day and stupid television all day, hang around with their stupid friends, but they go to school, and some of them get good marks, so they're doing well. You know, there is no such thing as anarchy. Now, there is anarchy once you have a revolution, you have people riding in the streets with guns, yeah. But other than that, each individual in and of ourselves, if we develop ourselves the best way we could, as the army would say, be the best that you can be, if we all individually do that without any school, there is no anarchy. There's only production. There's betterments of society. You know, the more I talk about the education system, the more I convince myself, at least, I hope I'm convincing somebody else out there, that we don't have an education system. We have an indoctrination system that keeps kids off the street somewhat. And is it any surprise that students, for the most part, hate school, can't wait to get out, they just want the day over so they can go home and be with their friends? And in the lower income neighborhoods, you find the dropout rate 75%. And it has nothing to do with race, color, creed. Schools are poor. They don't initiate kids. I mean, they're disciplinary places, you know, institutions. And then the kids leave the street and they go with their real friends where they really learn something, where they get a real support system. The support system is a street. I'm from the streets of New York. I'm from the streets of Harlem. I understand that, folks. Our education system is failing. The whole way we teach is failing. There are schools doing things so radically different, getting such phenomenal results, and yet with the NEA ignores them. Because what they do is they protect their bureaucracy. They protect their jobs. And this is why we're going to talk about the Unfriendly to Freedom UN. The UN exists to preserve its elite status in the country, in the world, for self-benefit at the expense of everyone, rich and poor. The UN is absolutely worthless, folks. Let me read you the charter of the UN, the purpose. This is going to blow your mind. The purposes of the United Nations, as set forth in the charter, are to maintain international peace and security. Now, folks, could someone please call in 646-652-4620 and tell me how they're going to do that? Maintain international peace and security. They've never done that. And any place the UN has gone without gun in hand, has been a sort of a watchdog, have been stepped over, have been killed, and then had a retreat, and absolutely have no power whatsoever. All right, let's go on. And then to develop friendly relations among nations. Are you kidding me? Friendly relations among nations? Have you ever listened to the UN? They hate each other. This is a place where they vent their frustrations against one another. This is where a small nation stops the United Nations from doing something really beneficial because it's not in their best interest. Let's go on. It says also to cooperate in solving international economic, social, cultural, and humanitarian problems. When did they ever do that? When? I'd like someone to name one time that they've done that. Oh, they've attempted. They've had U.S. task forces. They've had troops. They tried aid. And it never worked out. Countries refuse to go, refuse to participate. And sometimes it's the United States and Canada, the only countries that go. And by the way, 90%, they wanted an audit of the United Nations. Oh, let me get into that a little later. Here we go. Let me finish this. Human rights respected. And in promoting respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms, have you seen what's been going on or listened to what's going on in many of the third world countries? Starvation, deprivation. I can name a dozen countries where things are so bad, people are dying by the millions every year at the hands of some despot who has a chair in the United Nations. Where's the outrage, folks, in the United... Forget us. We're not supposed to know that. We're just dumb U.S. citizens, and we are dumb. So let's be honest. We don't know what the hell's going on overseas. We think we do. We don't. But what about those people who are in charge of knowing what's going on overseas? Where is their outrage? Do you ever see that on CNN? Do you ever see that on ABC, NBC, or CBS News? No. You never see anything regarding the UN. And the atrocities that are occurring, you see the atrocities, but you don't see the billions of dollars that we spend in the UN where it does absolutely nothing but provide for expensive limousines, expensive meals, expensive bureaucracies, beautiful houses, trips overseas. I mean, it is one big social club, elite social club. And it goes on to be a center for harmonizing actions of nations in attaining these ends. Well, then where is the outrage of the UN when the United States opens bases in the countries of the former Soviet Union? Why isn't that on CNN News? Why is not the UN not condemning the United States for doing that? That's not harmonizing. That's agitating. Folks, the UN is the biggest damn joke in the world. And it's an expensive joke. And it's costing the taxpayers billions of dollars every year. And the worst part is that the poorest nations are suffering for it. There are non-governmental organizations, NGOs, that perform most of the functions that the UN purports to promote and to conduct. However, they don't do it. They hardly do it. When they do it very ineffectively. Money goes to all the big people in the countries, the people that we're trying to work against, right? And the people wind up starving. And it enriches the pocketbooks of those people within the UN. I mean, talking about an unfulfilled promise. Let me read you. This is a speech given by John Bolton. He's a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He served from August 2005 to December 2006 and served as the United States permanent representative to the United Nations. And for 4 years prior to that, he was Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security. And he's frequently asked, why don't we just withdraw? Gene Kirkpatrick was frequently asked why the U.S. simply doesn't withdraw from the UN. And her answer was, because it's more trouble than it's worth. Isn't that terrible? I mean, she didn't refute it saying, yeah, no, we shouldn't because it's important, because it's too much damn trouble. And I can understand that. Internationally, there would be an outrage, although it would be the right thing to do. Here's something. The UN... The nations who are really paying for UN, in fact, the nations who are supporting the UN to the tune of 90% of the funding, want the UN to be audited. They want an independent audit, and yet it gets stopped by the small 10%. And we never get an audit of the UN. You ever hear an audit of the UN? No. Oh, they have a beautiful website. Go there, folks. You'll be impressed about all the wonderful things. You see the starving children being fed. It's all propaganda crap. The UN does absolutely nothing but allows despots, dictators, to stay in office and to preach their hate and to stop other countries from helping the people. That's what it does. That's what it does very well. Just like Tom Clancy said, the only thing that our government does well is collect taxes, takes away your freedom, and then kills people. That's what we do very well. Other than that, we don't do crap. The UN, same thing. Let me read you some stuff here from his speech. He said, I should add that the countries voting in favor of reforms contribute over 90% of the UN's budget, whereas the countries voting against them contribute under 10%. We engage in another reform effort to fix the UN Human Rights Commission. It spends most of its time defending human rights abuses and passing resolutions critical of the United States and Israel. Europeans care less about reforming Human Rights Commission than bludgeoning the U.S. into being more submissive to the U.N. Under the current system, the U.S. pays 22% of the cost of most U.N. agencies, 27% of peacekeeping costs. We are far and away the largest contributor, and every year Congress pays the bills as apportioned by the General Assembly. My revolutionary reform principle would be this. The United States should pay for what it wants and insist that it gets what it pays for. Folks, I have an overriding problem with the UN is very unfriendly to freedom in this regard, if in this regard only. Their main criticism of the United States is that the United States is attached to its own constitution and reacts according and acts according to the Constitution of the United States. They want us to abdicate the Constitution of the United States in favor of the resolutions within the UN. In other words, they want us to give us sovereignty, and they make no bones about it. This is not conspiracy crap. We get criticized because our decisions are made on constitutional grounds, and those constitutional grounds are based on freedom, individual rights, and liberty. Now, not all the time, you know that. We don't do a very good job of that either. We can be very critical of that. But when we do, we get criticized because we're not playing ball. And they call that norming. Norming means that everyone's on the same page. And that same page means that every country gives up whatever little rights they do have for their people that's been taken away. Unfriendly to freedom, the UN. UN, be damned. I am not happy about the UN. We should not be happy about the UN. And we should... And please call in with your question. Well, this broadcast is almost over, but please, if you do call in area code 918-919-0101. If I'm on the computer at the time, I will get the call. If not, leave a message, and I will return your call or respond to your questions over the air. Same thing, please write anytime to comments at libertytalkradio.com. This is the end of this morning's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranchenko's Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, and give us a call at 918-919-0101. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, don't steal, folks. The government hates competition. Ron Paul has that statement on his desk. I saw it myself. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.